97.5, The Fanatic.
Another sport that I am in love with, I mentioned my love of MMA, but the sport that really stole my heart first when I was a young kid was the sport of hockey. And this stretch run in the NHL, if you're not a hockey fan, March and April is some of the best hockey you're going to see. Because that leads you up into the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, which is unbelievable. And you're seeing teams fight and claw their way into the last playoff spots. The Flyers were firmly tucked in there in the Metropolitan Division. They were going to be a playoff team until the season stopped. So to join us now from The Athletic, he is Charlie O'Connor. He covers the Flyers for The Athletic. Charlie, how are you? How are you holding up?
Hanging in. How about you?
Just doing a radio show. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, first of all, you cover the team every day. You're at practice. How has this impacted your day-to-day life, this pandemic of not going to Voorhees every single day?
Well, you know, you just have to keep trying to find new ways to pump out articles. I'm one of the lucky ones that I still have a job. So I'm certainly thankful for that. But, you know, people still do want to read about sports. As you know, people still do want to talk about sports and listen to people talk about sports. So it's not like our jobs have stopped. It's just, you know, you have to be more creative for content. You have to be, setting up phone interviews with players, with coaches, with front office types, with just people in the game, just to try to get some interesting content for articles. So, you know, it's just everybody's kind of adjusting to the new normal. That's the case for players, it's the case for coaches, it's the case for journalists. So, you know, just trying to hopefully produce the kind of articles that our subscribers want, and, you know, we'll see how long this lasts.
Now, you just said that you have to set up phone interviews with some of the players there. How are players taking this? I mean, with the Flyers in particular, it's a team that is one of the hottest teams in the NHL, and you know, and everybody out there who watches hockey knows, momentum is everything in this sport. And now the air is kind of out of the balloon. You know, teams, if they return, are going to be back to full health, you would think. So how are the Flyers, who were in such a great position, taking it that, you know, the league suddenly had to stop and we don't know if we're going to resume?
I think there's definitely an element of frustration. You know, it's so hard to tell how the rest of the season would have played out. Obviously, I think the Flyers were going to cruise to a playoff spot, but, you know, once the NHL playoffs get started, anything can happen. Look at last year. You have, you know, one of the best teams, regular season teams in history in Tampa Bay, gets swept in the first round by a Columbus team that was battling, you know, the last few weeks of the year just to get in. So anything can really happen in the playoffs. But I think they're understandably frustrated because they really felt like they were building something here. You know, they were rolling. They had momentum. They were arguably the best team in the division in the weeks leading up to the pause. So there's definitely a feeling of, you know, what might have been. At the same time, I don't get the sense that any of the players have lost hope that there will eventually be a postseason, and maybe they could even find a way to get some regular season games in at some point. Because they're definitely, you know, the NHL is absolutely trying to, you know, at least have in the planning stages, you know, think of, well, could we start back up in August? And if we have to, what would that look like? Could we start back up in September? So the players and the Flyers, I think they're hoping that they'll get a chance to see this through and they'll get a chance to go back out there. But I agree that it's going to be tough, even if the season and the playoffs can get going. It's going to be tough to replicate exactly what they had kind of built in the 6 week period leading up to the pause. Cause yeah, they were, in my mind, one of the best teams in the NHL over that period.
When you look at everything going down and you have some leagues and some sports trying to come back early, i.e. UFC's trying to create a fight island, Major League Baseball has started this idea of sending guys to the Cactus League and the Grapefruit League to start up early. One of the proposals was that the NHL go to one of the Dakotas. How feasible is that?
We're all just kind of spitballing here. I don't think anybody really knows what is feasible. Logistically, yeah, I mean, you might be able to pull it off because the whole idea of going into the Dakota is the same idea that, you know, I think they're the NBA at one point was like, well, maybe we could do it in Atlantic City. And they've obviously talked about Las Vegas as well. It's just this idea of kind of just having all the players in like a bubble. and just doing your season, you know, while trying to minimize the amount of contact they have with people that aren't essential to the playing of the sport. So the North Dakota thing, it falls in line with that, where you're just kind of, you know, having everybody sort of shack up in one place and just roll through the playoffs or roll through what's left of the season. So logistically, maybe it would work. I think a lot of it in the end is just going to boil down to, you know, what the medical people say is possible, and, you know, whether we, I who knows? But that's the thing. Like, it seems like every week the NHL, and I haven't been following the NBA too closely, so I don't know if they're doing the same thing, but it feels like every week with the NHL, they're coming up with a new possible idea of how we could possibly get started. And, you know, the optimist would say that that's because they're coming up with a lot of different scenarios. The pessimist and the cynic would say, well, they're just trying to keep fans' hopes up, just to kind of keep interest in the league so that everybody just doesn't tune out entirely when it comes to hockey. Maybe it's a little bit of a combination of the two, but the NHL, obviously they want to play, and they want these games to be finished. They want the playoffs. They want to, you know, get the revenue that comes with that. And the players just, they want to see this through. They want to, they're competitors. They want to win a title, and this is a year of their careers that none of them want to see just disappear without any real resolution. So it's really impossible to know how this is all going to play out. But yeah, I think the NHL is absolutely trying. Now, how realistic it is, we'll see in the coming months.
And when you talk to the players, how worried are they about, you know, possibly starting back up, like let's say in the Dakotas, or just in a situation with no fans? How worried are some of the players to contracting the coronavirus?
I don't get the sense that they're that concerned about the virus itself, in terms of how it impacts them, and which is understandable. You know, we know from the medical reports and the, you know, the work that's been done that, you know, this tends not to hit, you know, people between the ages of 20 and 35 terribly hard. Not to say it can't, but they're less at risk. And obviously these are a bunch of athletes who are in peak physical condition that are probably, you know, ideally suited for their bodies to fight off the virus. So I don't think they're terribly concerned about themselves necessarily. Obviously they're concerned about their family members. You know, we all have family members that, you know, that are either older or, you know, have pre-existing conditions or, you know, are battling cancer or something like that. And they're obviously concerned about them, and they're concerned about, you know, society as a whole. I wouldn't say they're terribly concerned about themselves. But yeah, there's absolutely just a worry, I think, about just the world as a whole. We're all kind of just sitting here and hoping that things are going to turn for the better.
All right. One of the things the Athletic has done to pump out content in this hard time of not really having sports is the My Favorite Players column. And I've really enjoyed them. I haven't seen you do one, though. Is there a reason you haven't done one? And if you have done one, who's your favorite player? And if you haven't done one, who's your favorite player?
Well, you know, the thing is that the guy who I probably would have written on would have been Brian Dawkins. But I didn't write on him because I basically wrote on him about him being my favorite player when he got in the Hall of Fame. So I thought about doing an article like that, but I would have ended up just basically rewriting the column I did for his Hall of Fame induction. But yeah, it absolutely would have been Dawkins if I was going to do a column like that.
Well, if it was, all right, let's say you can't do Dawkins, who's your second favorite player?
Probably Utley. So yeah, and maybe I could have done an Utley column.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, I would read it. That's all I'm saying. And you can find him. You can find him at The Athletic, and you can follow him on Twitter at Charlie_O'Conn, I believe.
Yeah.
Last one before I let you go. What is the worst thing you have watched during this pandemic?
Okay, so I'll go a little nerdy here. So one thing I have done, just kind of as a way to, you know, learn a little bit more about the team and hopefully produce some content over the long term, is going back through old Flyers games and, you know, basically tracking things that happened in the game so I can, you know, produce future articles. And last week I rewatched, they played Ottawa in mid-November, and my God,
Jesus Christ, that was an
utterly horrifying hockey game to watch.
Wait, it was just
some of the most ugly hockey I've ever seen, and having to watch that again was absolutely
horrible. So during a pandemic, when there is no sports, and you have Hulu and HBO and Amazon Prime and Netflix, you decide, I'm going to hold off on all of these, and I'm going to watch the Flyers game from November.
Hey, it's all about producing content with subscribers, Pat. That's what it's all about.
That's amazing. Have you watched Tiger King?
I have.
Okay, at least you're not completely living under a rock. I'm just making sure about that. That's hilarious, though, that I ask, what's the worst thing you've watched? And you go, oh, Flyers game from November. Yeah, that was pretty rough. That was bad.
It was really bad, though.
All right, man. I appreciate you coming on. Stay safe, all that good stuff. And then we'll talk to you, hopefully, when hockey resumes again.
Hopefully. Thanks a lot for having me, Pat.
No problem, man. There he is, Charlie O'Connor from The Athletic. He covers the Flyers. You can follow him at Charlie O_Con. On Twitter there. That's amazing. I figured he was going to come up with some like bad movie he heard about. I mean, you see why the guy got hired by The Athletic to cover hockey, because during a pandemic, he decides, all right, I got all this time on my hands. What am I going to do? I think I'll watch old Flyers games from November. That's what I'll put on. That's my best option right now. Clearly though, all of that has paid off with a job at The Athletic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.